The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
This is FMR.
Good afternoon, Cape Town. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, and you're listening to Cape Diary on Fine Music Radio. I'm Rian Portas, and Mzuma Keta is behind the desk making sure everything sounds absolutely beautiful this afternoon. What a week we've got ahead. There's chamber music and comedy, vintage sales and art auctions, sacred festivals, and travel tales gone wildly wrong. We're starting with Ross Johnson from St. Cyprian School. Tomorrow night, their music teachers take the stage, performing everything from Telemann to Piazzolla. Should be quite special. Then Dalian Swart joins us about something close to my heart. The Dusenberg Rescue Center's massive vintage sale starts tomorrow, all to help their rescued horses and dogs. Harold Epstein tells us about the Sacred Music and Dance Festival happening in McGregor. Sounds like a truly transformative weekend. And Ian Hunter from Strauss & Co. gives us the scoop on their international art auction. We're talking Irma Stern Picasso. Some serious art world excitement. Finally, Judith Herbig drops by with her stories about her European adventure. Let's just say things didn't quite go to plan. Her one-woman show starts tomorrow night. Oh, and before I forget, you can now catch Cape Diary as a podcast on the FMR website if you miss something. Pretty handy, that. So settle in. Let's see what Cape Town's cultural scene has in store.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Ross Johnson is here now, Director of Music at St. Cyprian School. Tomorrow night, something rather lovely happens. The school's music teachers step out from behind their desks and onto the stage for an evening of chamber music. Ross, welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice having you. Ross, tell me about this evening of chamber music. How did this idea come about?
So we have a wonderful team of music teachers at our school, providing music lessons to hundreds of girls each week. And we're actually taking our choir on a international tour next year.
Okay.
So we've got a whole program of fundraising events to make sure that we can take as many students as possible, regardless of financial means. So the teachers decided to step up and put this event together.
Fun. So the program is quite ambitious. Telemann through to Brahms with some Piazzolla thrown in. How did you choose these pieces?
You know, I think variety and diversity is a very big part of our musical philosophy. So we teach all different genres of music to our girls. So it's up to us to walk the talk. And when we're doing a performance, to show them a large variety of music genres and styles.
And that you can do it, yeah. Wow. So your colleagues are performing. What's that dynamic like, teacher to performer?
You know, while some musicians choose to focus purely on teaching, and that's wonderful, a huge focus on the pedagogical side of music, many of our teachers are also very successful performers in their own right. So it's wonderful for our students and for the Cape Town community to see these teachers step out from the teaching role into a performing role.
Yeah. That is cool. So do you think chamber music has a special place in music education?
You know, what really works for students is making music together. So, you know, there's a lot of time and dedication goes into learning an instrument. And as soon as they can start making music together, it really just creates magic.
Yes.
So it's my opinion that any successful music program needs to have its foundation in ensemble playing. So chamber music is one of the arms of that. You know, we have marimba bands and rock bands and jazz bands and choirs. And the chamber music program is an opportunity for our string players and our pianists to experience the joy of making music together.
Not practicing alone, but getting that beautiful sound.
Absolutely.
Wow. So the Ntombenhle Recital Hall must be perfect for this kind of intimate music. Tell us about the venue.
We're very privileged at our school to have just recently moved into our newly built and renovated music department. It has a large number of lesson rooms, and one of the key venues that we've constructed from scratch is this recital hall. It's been acoustically, the acoustics have been taken into account from the very start of the design process, from the materials to the shape of the room, and Music just sounds absolutely incredible in there. One of the features of the room is an acoustic curtain at the back, which allows us to tune the acoustics of the room to the event or the rehearsal that we're having, being able to add reverb to the space as needed.
Excellent.
So it's an experience listening to music in there, because you can hear all the individual instruments while at the same time kind of step back and appreciate the blend of the music together. It really is a world-class experience.
Wow, sounds fantastic. I see Dalai Mwani State is sponsoring the event. That adds a nice touch, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Victor Sperling from Dalheim has been a long supporter of Tertia Fisser-Downey and her concerts that she does.
Okay.
We're very privileged to have Tertia as one of the teachers and accompanists at our school, and they've agreed to come on board for this concert and hopefully for a concert series that we'll be running into the future.
Wow. So for parents and music lovers, what can they expect from the evening?
You know, it's just a fantastic experience to be able to hear all these different genres, starting with Baroque and ending up in the sort of a fusion jazz type experience. So there's a glass of wine, a complimentary glass of wine for adults.
Nice.
It really just will be an evening celebrating music, celebrating our teachers, and just having a wonderful experience.
Sounds amazing. Are there any particularly challenging moments in tomorrow's program?
You know, I think something that's always interesting is this fusion of classical music and jazz. And we actually have a jazz department at our school. Sibusiso Matsimela, Timothy Fortes, and Jared Fortes are joining with our classical teachers, Catherine Stevenson and Tertia Fisser-Downey. So bringing those two different worlds together creates challenges, but also very exciting opportunities.
And speaking of exciting, which piece of the program are you most excited about?
Yeah, I think that'll be it.
That sounds amazing.
The bowling will really be something to look forward to. Although each piece, you know, we're doing the Concerto for Four Violins by Telemann, a very special piece which doesn't actually have a continuo. So it's the four violins create this beautiful light texture. And something to listen out for in that one is just how these four violins converse, weaving and dancing together. I think that'll also be a highlight.
You're describing it well. I'm excited. How important is it for students to see their teachers performing as musicians?
You know, the whole time we are putting our students out there, encouraging them to be brave, to put themselves out emotionally, to perform. And I think it goes a long way for them to see that that their teachers also do this, and that their teachers get nervous to perform, and that we're human beings.
Yes.
So hopefully it'll inspire them and also make it relatable.
So will this become a regular event for the school?
Yes, so we're looking at launching a concert series. Mm-hmm. It really is my goal that St. Cyprian School becomes known as a center for music excellence. So as well as being an ABRSM exam center for the area, we want our facilities to be used by musicians so that we really can bring the community of Cape Town music together at our wonderful facilities.
And make use of this beautiful recital
Absolutely.
Hall. Yes. Ross, what would you like to share with the listeners that I didn't ask you?
Just that the St. Cyprian's music program is so exciting. It's something that I'm deeply passionate about and something that really is making an impact on the Cape Town and South African music scene. We have six of our matric subject music students going on to study music next year. And we have a long list of alumni that have come out of this. So if you are passionate about supporting women and young girls in the music industry, I really think St. Cyprian's is a place to watch.
Thank you so much, Ross, for doing this. The evening of chamber music is tomorrow, Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. in the Ntombenhle Recital Hall at St. Cyprian School. Tickets are through Web Tickets and they start from 100 Rand. If on Web Tickets, search with the words chamber music. You'll find it quite easily if you just search with chamber music. And if you would like to book on the phone, you can book on 083-357-9636. That is 083-357-9636. What a treat to hear music teachers doing what they love most. Ross, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Rian.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Dalian Swart is with me now, and she's got something wonderful happening this weekend. The Dassenberg Rescue Center's huge vintage sale starts tomorrow. But this isn't just about finding bargains, it's about saving lives. Dalian, welcome to Cape Diary.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Just a pleasure. Dalian, this vintage sale has become quite the event. Tell us what makes it so special.
Oh, obviously the bargains and the treasures you can find, mm-hmm. but what makes it really special is every piece of clothing or accessory mm-hmm. has been donated.
Okay.
So it is 100% profit.
Yes.
And we've got volunteers helping. So okay. when you shop for a cause.
So with 100% profit, how much haggling happens?
Oh, quite a bit.
I can imagine.
Quite a bit. But we've got good prices. And if you're not careful, we haggle up, not down.
Yeah, yeah. So come on, you're buying it at the price. That's
it's for
it.
A good cause. So oh. we will add up and yeah, round we'll up, not up. Down.
We'll show you the dogs.
Yes.
Awesome. So you're caring for over 50 animals right now, speaking of dogs. 40 plus dogs and 14 horses. That's a huge responsibility. How do you do it? How many staff does it take?
So we work with a very small staff complement. Okay. We are not even, I think, 7 staff.
All right.
From kennel hands, dog walkers, and then you've got a yard manager, which is on the horses side, mm-hmm. kennel manager, and mm-hmm. then I do fundraising and social media.
Did you say dog walker?
A dog walker, yes.
Where do you walk these 40-plus dogs?
So we walk them early in the morning before it gets too hot.
Okay.
And we have a long and a short route.
Okay.
It's on the farm.
Okay.
And it's loads of fun. And we've got volunteers that come in and help as well. So okay. our dog walkers are very fit.
Awesome. I can imagine. So this year you're adding secondhand home items alongside the clothing. What sparked this expansion?
People are kind-hearted.
Okay.
And when they scale down or move, they not only clean out their closets, but they need to get rid of excess.
Yes.
So we have received quite a bit of home items,
yes.
house items
yes.
Over the years, small okay. and large items,
yes.
even furniture.
Some interesting things.
And we thought, let's add it and see what happens. Oh. If the market is there, why not?
Yes. Excellent. I'm sure someone's going to pick something up there. So the Vat Farm Stall on the N7. Now, this is a perfect location for treasure hunters. How did you decide on the venue?
So the Vat is about 7 kilometers from the farm.
Okay.
And we often visit there. And in April last year, we started chatting to them and said, can't we do adoption days over the weekends when you've got your market days and when families come to visit?
Mm.
The answer was yes.
Yay.
And over the past 18 months, we mm-hmm. were able to find homes for more than 70 dogs right. just because
wow.
of that exposure.
Thank you, Farm Stall.
Amazing. Wow. No, it's a beautiful relationship.
Stunning.
So we are very happy to
natural.
Have that.
Yes. Okay. That's great. So you mentioned every purchase directly helps with food and vet care. Can you give us an idea of costs? What do your costs look like?
So to feed a dog...
Uh-huh.
For a month.
Okay.
You look at roughly about R1,050.
Okay.
We've got 40 plus dogs.
Okay.
That's quite a bill.
That is steep.
We do get a lot of in-kind donations mm-hmm. with dog food. Mm-hmm. We have dog food suppliers that
okay.
support us as well. But there's always a shortfall. Some dogs need special food for skin conditions
mm-hmm.
or stomachs
mm-hmm.
or allergies. Horses are a little bit more expensive.
No, really?
Yes. Definitely.
$1,000 for a dog, how much for a horse?
Roughly R3,000-R3,500.
Okay.
Our horses do roam freely on the farm,
okay.
so they forage. But
okay.
we make sure that they stay healthy, so we provide meals twice a day.
Mm.
And within that, we also give supplements, also to look at their health, joint care,
yes.
etc.
Important.
So, yeah. And with 14 horses, it adds up quickly.
So you touched on all the things you've been giving over the years. What's the most unusual item you've ever been donated?
So can I mention 2?
You can. You can go for 3 if you have 3.
The most exotic, I think, is a wrought iron and glass wine decanter.
Okay.
It is exquisite, and it is on display
okay.
at this vintage sale.
Is it on sale too?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
It is. And something that's not on sale is a wooden urn. Without the ashes.
Yes, thank you.
So somebody cleaned out the closet.
And the urn.
And the urn, and we received the little box. So we received some really strange and interesting items, yes.
That's interesting. So this has been going a bit. So do you get repeat customers who look forward to the sale area?
Yes. So This sale happens every 3 months.
Okay.
So last October was the first time.
All
so
right.
This is, I think, number five okay. or number six. So some of our customers, I said, can we start a WhatsApp group? So we've got a WhatsApp group, and then when the dates are announced, they are the first to know. And okay. then we go to social media to advertise.
All right.
So that is how we stay in touch. And
nice.
It is wonderful to have those repeat customers come in, and they bring their friends, and then, you know, the support grows. And that is what it's all about.
Speaking of support, the Rescue Center has been going since 2000. How has the community support evolved?
I think it started to grow the last 18 months because we're more visible
okay.
at De Werf.
Okay.
Otherwise, we were just, you know, on the farm. Mm. And because we're outside of Atlantis, a lot of people are hesitant to come and visit.
Mm.
And it's quite, you know, a drive.
Mm.
So the community support is amazing. We are more known out there now than,
okay.
than previous years.
Wow. So for people coming to the sale, what advice do you have for them to make it worthwhile?
Bring friends.
Uh-huh.
Bring a big shopping bag.
Okay.
Don't rush.
Okay.
So come and have a look, browse through, have a cup of coffee, something to eat, browse through again.
Yes.
Because there's so much. We've got 8 railings of clothing. You're bound to miss something the first time around.
And you mentioned a cup of coffee, so the farm stall has decent food and drinks.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely beautiful. They've
Excellent.
Got a restaurant that's open 7 days a week,
okay.
in addition to the market stalls
nice.
That run over the weekend.
Okay.
Pizzas are divine.
Okay, so there's more than just this going on. There's definitely something to do.
Definitely, and it's a family outing. They've got a huge
yes.
play area. There are pony rides over the weekend.
Okay.
They've got go-karts for kids.
Go-karts.
I think also adults as well.
Yes, go-karts. I also want to
live music on Saturdays and Sundays. Bring the family.
Okay,
make it an event.
This does sound fun. Thank you so much, Dillian. The 4-day vintage sale runs tomorrow through Sunday, Thursday 23rd to Sunday 26th of October at De Werf Farmstall on the N7. Open from 8 a.m. daily. Shopping with a cause doesn't get better than that. Dillian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Harold Epstein joins us now to tell us about something quite unique happening in McGregor next week, the Sacred Music and Dance Festival, where different spiritual paths come together through music, movement, and meditation. Harold, tell us about this beautiful gathering.
Well, it all started with my deep love for music and the divine.
Mm.
It's like bringing sacred music, song, dance, meditation, and prayer, just as you said, together.
Mm.
And it's especially since we've had a long-standing relationship with McGregor and the two retreat centers that are there, it actually works out very beautifully for us to set this up there. And it's building community. It opens hearts. It opens minds. And it's a celebration of life through music and dance, actually.
Harold, this is the third year for the festival. Tell me about
That's
right. the first year. What went through your mind and how did it go down?
Actually, that went really, really well. It was overwhelming, in fact. We had so many people wanting to come, we had to turn people away.
Wow.
Yes, we had people from all over, actually, other countries. Very popular. I think because of its unique flavor, let's put it that way. You know, it's not a usual kind of festival. It's very limited in size.
Okay.
It's about building community, and it's about participation.
Okay.
You know, there are not many festivals that I know of where you can participate in small groups, say 20 to 30,
okay.
and be part of a dance or song circle.
Wow.
Or...
Speaking of,
you know,
let's talk about this cooperation. So the sacred singing circles that you mentioned and contemporary dance, from yoga to teze, how do all these elements flow together? How do you coordinate?
Okay, so we usually set it up it'll start on Friday nights. It goes from Friday evening, 4 o'clock, until 4 o'clock on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and we come together in a fire ceremony.
Okay.
And it'll be some, actually a local McGregor person who's going to be doing a special welcoming.
Okay.
And honoring of all the universal traditions.
Yes.
In especially the African, mm-hmm. to start off with, because that's the land that we are based on.
Yes.
And then it'll open up into some singing and dancing later on. And the program will be set up. So there's usually one dance event
uh-huh.
at the same time as a singing event. So for those people that don't want to dance, they can sit around and sing beautiful songs and chants together.
That makes that guided,
words given. So, you know, or just listen.
Yeah.
It's
very inclusive. Yes, it's very inclusive. Yeah, you don't have to dance. You don't have to sing. That's really wow. So you're bringing international facilitators alongside the local ones. What kind of mix can people expect?
Okay, so firstly, there's a few performances mm-hmm. that are happening. There's the Montague A Cappella Choir. We like to include locals from the area. So Montague is very close to McGregor. Montague A Cappella Choir, which are stunning, really okay. wonderful people, and they're singing Teze, they're singing Sacred, they're singing African songs, and I believe they're going to even lead the whole group in a song. I'm not sure what that's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I'll keep it a surprise, yes.
There's the First Tap Ballet School in McGregor, which is a fantastic school. They have wonderful students there, and they're going to be performing ballet, contemporary and African, and thereafter they'll be teaching us the African dance for whoever wants to dance with them. There's going to be things like Sufi poetry and music.
Okay.
Muhammad will be sharing spiritual poetry from various Sufi poets, including Rumi, and with music interludes. What else can I tell you? There's Ancient Voices from Cape Town.
Yes.
Who play indigenous African instruments mm-hmm. exquisitely, actually, and share the knowledge of each instrument.
Wow.
So, to
interrupt you there, the McGregor setting, for those who don't go through the tunnel much, tell us about the McGregor setting and the landscape and what you think that brings to the experience.
It's special because we always say that if you go leave your home and you go away for a couple of days and you step into a different sacred environment, you're experiencing, especially in McGregor, because it's got this tiny village. It's tiny. One street, one main street with a few other streets added in, but beautiful thatch roofs, cottages, mountains in the distance, lots of farms around. You can walk safely at night. It's that kind of a feeling, little cafes and shops around. And the venues that we have are very beautiful.
So the venues are the Temenos Retreat Center and the Wisdom School. Can you touch on those venues, what to expect over there?
Okay, the Wisdom School is a space that has been operational for, I don't know how many years, maybe about 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
And they do a lot of community work there.
Mm.
And they open up their spaces for events like ours and for local events.
Nice.
Workshops, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But they've got a hall, which is great for dancing.
Okay.
And they've got a couple of other rooms that we use as well. And then there are some gardens there around there as well. Lovely.
Okay.
And then the Temenos Retreat Center has a stunning garden, which with cottages sort of spread out in the gardens.
Tranquil.
And beautiful spaces which just fit in beautifully for our events that we're going to have there.
Harold, just quickly, for someone who's never experienced anything like this, what would you tell them to expect?
I tell them to be very pleasantly surprised. If you love people, you love music, you love getting together, and you love a relaxing as well. You know, opening, it's definitely hard opening. And
I want to touch on one more thing before we go. Time is running out. Tell me about the Bring a Friend discounts.
Yes, that one, I think it's the last day today, unfortunately. So you have to get in pretty quick.
To get use of the Bring a Friend discount. And what does the Bring a Friend discount entail? Bring more than one and the prices just go down.
So you bring a friend and both people get 20% off.
Okay.
Bring two friends and all three people get 30% off.
Okay, awesome. Listeners, jump on that one. It ends today. Thanks, Harold. So the Sacred Music and Dance Festival runs October 31st to November 2nd in McGregor. Tickets on Quicket with those great friends discount available. Sounds like a weekend that will nourish the soul. Thank you so much, Harold.
Very, very welcome. Hope to see you there.
Cheers. Judith Herbig is here, and she's got some travel stories that'll make you laugh out loud. At 63, she set off on her European dream trip, armed with questionable Google Map skills and fragile optimism. Things got interesting fast. Judith, welcome.
Thanks. Thank you, Rion. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the show.
Yay. Judith, Flight, Felines, and Holy Frights. That title tells quite a story. What inspired you to turn your travel disasters into comedy?
Well, the whole trip actually took place 3 years ago, so I've had a bit of distance from the subject matter. And when I started looking at material, I wanted to create a one-woman show. I thought, actually, that would be a perfect material because there was such a lot of silly things that happened and weird mistakes that I made that I thought, you know, that's actually where the comedy lies, in the silly things.
So 63 and taking on Amsterdam, Bruges, Paris and Cologne solo. That takes courage. What made you decide to go for it?
Well, I think I'm a bit of a control freak, so I enjoy going on my own, and then I'm able to choose which city I want to go to and what I want to see, and leave when I want to leave if I'm bored with something. Mm. And I could choose four very specific cities. I mean, Amsterdam was always been intriguing to me. And then I chose Bruges. I saw a movie called In Bruges, which mm-hmm. takes place there. And I thought, lovely city, medieval charm and everything. Lots of swans, which I talk about in the play. And Paris, of course, I have to see Paris. And then I went to Cologne, which is in Germany. So that was also very interesting.
Stunning trip. So you mentioned holy statues in toilets and peeing cats.
Yes, it actually was in the first apartment that I stayed in. Uh-huh. I normally rent a Airbnb with its own bathroom and everything, but this I was forced to a last minute choice. And the hostess basically warned me that the cats like to pee in suitcases, so I had to keep my door closed and my suitcases zipped up. And I love cats, so I was really disappointed that
you
these
can't cuddle
cats,
the kitties.
Yeah, that they were so And hers. Toilet was full of holy statues, so very, very scary.
So working with director Beryl Eichenberger, how do you bring travel chaos to the stage?
Well, I think it's about finding the comedy in the stories, you know, that people don't laugh at a perfect trip. They things that go wrong where people like behave like idiots and silly things that happen to me and so on. That's the funny part. We go like, I can't believe that happened, you know, and people laugh their heads off when it's actually something at the time really distressing. But now in retrospect, it was ridiculous.
So that 3 year distance
crazy.
Helped you. I'm sure at the time you didn't think, hey, this would make great comedy material.
No, not at all. I mean, I was freaked out by a lot of stuff. I mean, 63 is a bit of an old lady, so I was sort of standing there on my own completely in a foreign city with foreign languages and things. And I really thought, look, this, I've got to cope, you know. So, and I did, you know. So in retrospect, it was actually funny. But when I was in it, it wasn't.
And how proficient are you with Google Maps now?
Well, I would say a little bit better, but I still get lost. I'm terrible with direction. If I walk out of place, I swear that the place is in the complete opposite direction from what Google
Must
Maps
have been.
Say.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, oftentimes I start talking to Google Maps. I say, no, it can't be. You know, it can't be this direction.
Yeah, and then weird things happen.
Yeah, Yeah, I know.
Okay, and tell me, did any of these travel disasters actually lead to some wonderful discoveries?
Yes, when I went to the Anne Frank House, I felt we were really treated like, you know, sausage machine. We were just like marched through in single file, and we had to go through there very quickly. I literally, people breathing down my neck and stepping on heels and go through the place, and it wasn't a moving experience until I actually got downstairs, and I thought, well, this was terrible. I didn't really, you know, feel like it had an impact on me. And then I saw Anne Frank's actual diary in a glass case, and they, you know, the reality of her handwriting there that was real. And they were actually playing a modern video against a wall. It was a YouTube reenactment of as if she is doing a video diary. And then I started crying because it became very real. And so from that initial disappointing experience, it turned into that. That awesome life.
That's so cool. So the show combines physical comedy with character impressions and photos. How do you balance all those elements?
Well, I liked, I'm a drama teacher and I'm a trained actress. So, I mean, I do act out the characters or the situation. I try and make it like climbing up the stairs with my suitcase and then seeing the swans at the first top landing, you know, well, they're dead swans, but so I act that out. I don't just talk. I actually show that. So I like to make it physical and, we may not have the photos, but I actually printed them in a program, so people will see it. We hope to have a slideshow,
but it might not be up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've done one-woman shows before. What makes this one different?
I think, older and wiser. The last one I did was when I just had my child. My child's about 4 years old, and it was about raising a child and all the little cute things that children do.
I see.
And this is more like an adult sort of experience of what happened to me. It's a total different topic, you know. The
for
focus
adult,
is,
by adult.
Yes,
Okay, so for people nervous about solo travel, what would your show teach them?
I think, you know, you find a way to cope. When I was in the disaster, eventually there was a way out and there was a means. And I also learned that I like to make lists. And I learned that travel is not a tick list. It's about an experience. And if you miss some things, that's it. You know, you will find something else that's amazing and wonderful.
The time will fill with something else.
Yes. Yeah. Don't like tick your list, tick it off.
So are you planning any more solo adventures after this experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to Australia, Taiwan, and Indonesia next year.
All right. And then tell me, in the strips, which European city surprised you the most, for better or worse?
I think Bruges was surprising in a wonderful way, because it had this incredible charm. It was a very small city. You could walk everywhere, and it was beautiful, and it was similar in a way to Amsterdam, but far more relaxing. It had canals and it just, it was beautiful.
It's going to be a wonderful show. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Judith. Flight, Felines and Holy Frights opens tomorrow, Thursday 24th at 7:30, then Friday 25th and Saturday 26th at 2 p.m. Milderton Playhouse. Tickets from just 80 Rand on Quickit. Sounds like exactly the kind of travel therapy we all need. Thanks for coming in, Judith.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
Ryan. Cheers.
Thanks.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Ian Hunter is Senior Art Specialist at Strauss & Co., and he's got some serious art world excitement coming up. Their international sale next week features everything from Irma Stern to Picasso, with pieces that haven't been seen for decades. Ian, this sounds spectacular. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Rian. Yeah, we've got some absolutely amazing works spanning 5 centuries of artistic expression.
Wow. Ian, this Irma Stern portrait, Malay, or black headdress from 1946, fresh to market after 50 years. What makes it so significant?
Well, it was produced during the time known as her golden period, when she fused observation and her expressionistic technique together to create the most beautiful and collectible works in her career.
All right. I've got your 7 to 10 million rand estimate. Is that correct?
100%. Wow, yes, Irma Stern.
That puts it in serious collector territory, hey? What drives these valuations?
Well, very much it's auction precedent. There's a huge demand for her work in South Africa and internationally now.
Wow. So the range is quite extraordinary, from Renaissance painters to contemporary artists like Takashi Murakami. How do you curate this diversity?
Well, we basically put a call out for international art, and it brings in works from across the centuries. So we We research them. We check out the values on our auction databases. Uh-huh. So our prices are not only accessible, mm-hmm. but also market related.
And when you run across these things, how do you authenticate works, especially ones that's been in private collections?
Yeah, well, we do check with overseas specialists on the works. Mm-hmm. When we're not entirely sure, we say attributed to,
right.
which means that we believe it to be the artist's work to the best of our ability based on our research.
And speaking of research, what's the most surprising discovery you've made while researching pieces?
Well, they're just every single artwork that comes in on the on for the sale is mm-hmm. interesting.
Mm.
There's wonderful collection of works by Chitta Prasad Bhattacharya, an Indian artist.
Okay.
Beautiful Matisse-like study of four nudes, and then a lovely portfolio of woodblocks.
Okay.
And he was a socio-political artist in India, and he was also a poet, and he spoke out against the caste system. So,
all right,
very powerful body of works there too.
Awesome. So Andy Warhol's Queen Tombitwala of Swaziland from his Reigning Queen series. Tell us a bit about that. I hear that'll be there.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have a Warhol on the sale. We also have another work titled Mao from 1974, and that's also very, very rare to the auction world with us. We have Andy Warhol and a number of other subjects by Warhol, but having these is really special for us.
Yeah, yeah. So South Africans were collecting, had patterns from collecting in the 60s to the 80s when the rand was really strong. How does that shape what we're seeing now with art?
Well, it means that the South African collectors with original Pablo Picasso's, David Hockney's, Warhol's, as I mentioned before.
Yeah.
So these works were collected when the rand was on an equal footing with international currencies.
And now going to market, valuing quite high.
Mm.
Okay, so Pablo Picasso's 1959 Lino cut. Marine seems to be particularly popular. Why do you think that is?
He was just so talented across all the media he worked in. And his printmaking was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Those Lino cuts from that period, it's struck a very rich vein of mythological exploration on classical themes.
Mm.
In addition to explorations of identity in terms of figural studies.
Yeah, amazing. So interesting question. How has the South African art market evolved since you've been in the business?
Well, it's evolved in terms of the amount of collectors. There used to be a bigger percentage of people collecting older, early 20th century British and continental work, rather.
Okay.
And that trend has moved more into a sort of mid-century collection with some old masters still being sought after.
Okay.
But it's an evolving trend, as you've mentioned.
Mm. Tell me, are there any particular lots in this sale that you are personally excited about?
There are plenty. There's some wonderful David Hockney's, John Piper's, Edward Seago. There's a lovely Alexander Stanhope Thorpe's work, in addition to a beautiful study of a clipper by Montague Dawson, as well as a wonderful William John Huggins historic painting of a snow brig Arusha in Table Bay.
All right.
In addition to an Elizabeth Frink sculpture.
Oh, stunning. For someone attending their first major art auction, what should they expect?
Well, they can expect interest on the artists who are evergreens.
Okay.
But we also have a whole lot of other artists that aren't that well known in South Africa, but have large attraction in local markets globally.
Yeah.
So we sometimes have sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
A sleeper is something that's priced very accessibly and then runs way beyond the estimates.
Okay, wow. And then speaking of international, do international buyers pay attention to the South African auction houses?
Yes, they do. There's really works that are fresh to the market that haven't been seen by dealers and collectors in Europe and America.
So worldwide attention.
And elsewhere.
Wow. It's going to be an amazing auction. Thank you so much, Ian. The International Evening Sale is Tuesday, October 28th, with a silver exhibition closing Wednesday, October 29th. More details at straussart.co.za. That is straussart.co.za. For art lovers, this sounds unmissable. Ian, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, we've spoken about what's on offer, but there's nothing to beat coming to see the works in the flesh.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the works on show through this weekend, 10 okay. till 5. And we welcome people to come in and share our passion and the stories for each artworks with art lovers. Mm,
amazing. This is going to be stunning. Thank you so much, Ian. It was a pleasure
Thank
speaking
you,
to you.
What a delightful mix we've had today. Ross Johnson got us excited about tomorrow's chamber music evening at St. Cyprian School. Music teachers stepping into the spotlight with some beautiful repertoire. Dalian Swart reminded us that shopping can save lives, with a Dassenberg Rescue Center vintage sale starting tomorrow. 4 days of treasures, all for an incredible cause. Harold shared the magic of McGregor's Sacred Music and Dance Festival, where different spiritual paths come together in celebration. Ian Hunter opened our eyes to some serious art world excitement with Strauss & Co.'s international auction featuring works that haven't been seen for decades. And Judith Herbig proved that the best travel stories are the ones where everything goes wrong. But you will laugh about it later. From chamber music to comedy, from rescue animals to Renaissance art, Cape Town's cultural calendar keeps delivering surprises. Don't forget, you can now catch Cape Diary as a podcast on the FMR website if you miss anything. Pretty handy for busy lives. If you'd like your event featured, send your details to diary@fmr.co.za at least 2 weeks ahead. That is diary@fmr.co.za. Cape Diary airs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at noon right here on Fine Music Radio. Coming up next is In the Mood with Anati Gordlu. I'm Rian Portas. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.